This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m. I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at BestWestern.com.
Dripping in gold? That's cool. Dripping in Velveeta's supremely creamy golden cheesiness? That's respect. Elevate your drip with Velveeta's range of outrageously delicious dips and dishes. Shells, cheese, melty blocks, and heat and eat queso that go all in on indulgence. Flex on your fam with a creamy, cheesy masterpiece and go all in on what you love with Velveeta. Respect the drip and satisfy your cravings. Bring home the drip with Velveeta.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the No Low Ballers podcast. I'm your host, Logan Medish of High Caliber History, and joined around the table, we have Brad from Go Wild, we have Jacob from Go Wild, and we have Brian Lynn, the Vice President of Marketing and Communications from Sportsman's Alliance. Thanks so much for taking some time out of your schedule, Brian. Appreciate you being on the show.
You betcha. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. So we have done an episode of the show with the Second Amendment Foundation, talking about legal issues and hurdles that we have come up against in the 2A space as a whole, right? But dealing with sportsmen's issues is a little different. You know, we're not necessarily just talking about firearms issues. You know, we are talking about community issues in many situations here. And so I think it's something that a lot of people don't necessarily take into consideration, just what kind of threats sportsmen in general are up against. And I think it's something that is underrepresented and underreported, and we appreciate you coming to talk with us about it. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what Sportsman's Alliance has going on and what its goals are.
Yeah. So we were founded in the 1970s. We're almost 50 years old, and really we were just started to protect hunters, anglers, and trappers from specifically the animal rights movement. That's when they really became politicized and started using money and working on in state legislatures. And you see it nowadays, especially, yes, they're still in state legislatures, huge. But they've turned more and more to the courts and suing to stop delisting of wolves and bears or to stop certain hunts on public lands. You know, so they work in state and federal court. The legislature, and now as you see in Colorado, the ballot box where it's popular vote, you know. And as hunters, we're a really small group, you know, 15 million or so compared to 80, 100 million gun owners and stuff like that. So we're really at a disadvantage when it comes to the ballot box. Most of the public doesn't understand wildlife management,
yes.
And they don't like it. They don't like it. They like, you know, I call it the Disneyfication of, mm-hmm. of wildlife. They just pretend Thumper and Bambi and the Lion King, everybody gets along and they right. die happily.
Nature you know. Is metal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Great sight.
Yes.
You know, so we were, those are the realms we work in. And we started that, you know, in the 70s as a ballot initiative first, and then have gone into all the other branches of government where we work at, you know, a lot like the Second Amendment Foundation, work on that political stuff. We're not a conservation organization. We don't have boots on the ground cleanups or habitat restoration. We're kind of like insurance. You know, like
okay.
we're there to protect what you don't even know is coming, you know, and hopefully we stop it before you even know it's coming.
Right.
And those are the realms we work in, legislatures, state, federal court, and at the ballot box.
Brian, are you saying that you guys started in the 1970s? I thought all the social media was the problem, man.
That's right. We had that talk, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the people out there think it's the downfall has been since social media, but no. If you look at the history of the animal rights movement, it's been around, you know,
long
Greek
time.
Philosophers have talked about it. The Pope had to clarify, you know, that animals didn't have souls, or else every time we did eat something religiously, you would be committing murder, you know. And so it's been around forever, but they really, you know, started in the 60s or so back in Europe, and brought that over in the 70s and politicized it. And, you know, they misrepresent a lot of what they do. Humane Society of the United States probably being the biggest. Everybody
yeah.
thinks they give $5 or $10 to the Humane Society of the United States that they're helping their shelters, you know, their oh. local shelters. Humane Society of the United States, I even got them to say it on social media about 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
We don't run shelters. That's not why we were created. But that's what people think, you know. So
yeah.
one message, if you want to help your shelter, give locally, because the HSUS is not it.
That's great. Yeah, yeah, you're right. That is very important because most people don't get that. I have a neighbor who didn't understand that until very recently.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, thank you for educating them.
My pleasure.
Brian, walk us through. You and I had an interesting conversation a few months ago, I guess. But you talked me through the process or this recipe that they use of how they sue the government and build that momentum towards these ballot votes. Can you just talk through a little bit of how that works and how they're raising money along the way and you know,
oh, yeah.
I don't think most people have any clue of what's really going on with those initiatives.
Yeah, and I will try not to sound like a conspiracy theorist here, you know, with the tin hat on.
So big.
You can literally just sit back and watch them, you know, that they will start at the regulatory level and they'll try to pass things through your game commissions. From there, they will, if they're not successful or in tandem, they'll try to push something through a state legislature. They strike out there for a couple sessions in a row. You know, they'll eventually move to the ballot box, you know. What they do with the court cases is they'll sue, and they'll sue on a multitude of points. And all they have to do is win one or two of those discussion points that they're arguing in court,
mm-hmm.
and then they can collect their lawyer's fees under the Equal Opportunity to Justice Act. And so while they can collect those funds, they're also fundraising in social media and everything else. Help us save the wolves. So this, you know, they put a little puppy wolf pup up or mm-hmm. whatever it is. And they're generating millions of dollars over here. And after a year or two, when the decision comes, well, then they get to go back and recollect all of their court costs and lawyers' fees. So they're double dipping.
Yeah, they're raising right. to say, like, hey, you know, come
right.
help us in the legal fight. And then if they get it paid for, all that money's going into marketing, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of
yeah.
that's going into paying, just you know,
keep churning.
Billboards and you know,
social
even social media,
media
ads.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. And then they create, it's almost like, you know, they create their own reality. You know, they can say this and then it takes off on social media, how you know. And if people just keep seeing this messaging, they begin to believe that there is this issue.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
when you talk to a biologist or somebody who actually knows it, it's like, no, that's not the issue at all.
Yeah. And some of this, through talking to Brian, it's been interesting. Him and Evan have both told me about, you know, they'll frame it up of, well, on top of an initiative that's kind of muddy, but they'll say things that are already in place, like, well, you shouldn't be able to hunt the jaguar in Arizona,
yeah.
right? Which is like
yeah.
people thought might even be extinct. Yeah. You couldn't hunt it anyways. But people are like, you really shouldn't be able to hunt the jaguar. They agree with that, right?
Yeah.
And then they're kind of getting momentum on this ballot that maybe doesn't even address the jaguar at all, but they feel like that's what they're fighting for, right?
Yeah, can you yeah. They will throw in the Arizona one was the wildcat ban. So
oh, maybe that's okay. I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, it was mountain lions, bobcats, and the jaguar or something
lynx.
Like that. Lynx, maybe. You know, they're like, oh, it's an endangered species, and that's the face they put up. And it's like, well, you can't hunt them there anyway.
Exactly.
They don't even exist in this state, you know. And meanwhile, it's really about the mountain lion, stopping the mountain lion hunting, you know. But they're kind of, you know, wash
their
hands.
Game. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And can you talk just a little bit about how organized some of these groups have gotten? Because that's the other thing people – They think it's grassroots, and it's so much more than that.
No, it is not grassroots at all. Humane Society of the United States is the number one anti-hunting animal rights group in the world. They have like a $200 million budget surplus that they use. You know, so they could bury the hunting community if they wanted to. They could run ballot initiatives in every state, which a ballot initiative, depending on the state, is 2 to 5 upwards from there. Million, you know, they can afford that. We can't, and we can't do it. But they are, you see this happening in the United States, but Humane Society is also international. They're working overseas in Europe. They're behind a lot of the trophy ban imports that you see in the UK coming out of Africa.
Yeah.
We've seen it here. That's where we get involved a lot with the African stuff is the import bans. If they can stop it from coming back through Newark and JFK or Atlanta, they think they can stop the incentive for hunters going over there.
Right.
You know, so that's how connected we're talking.
And
you know, and then you look at their connections in Hollywood, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio and what's her name? Miley Cyrus. She's up in the Wolf Coal, you know, in BC where they were culling wolves just north of where I live. And, you know, outrage is stoked, but they were killing the wolves to save the woodland caribou. Which is on, you know, almost extirpated. But they left that part out.
Sure.
It's like,
here that's the inconvenient part for them.
Yeah, yeah. And we have two endangered species, and they're placing the endangered wolf, not even endangered in Canada, over this endangered woodland caribou herd that they then had to capture, take further up north, and put in pens to save the genetics.
Yeah.
Or else they'd be extinct.
How many attorneys do you guys have?
When does this air?
like roughly, or any NGO, like in the industry, you don't even have to speak generically, or you could speak more generically about it. But you know where I'm going with this. But like, I'm trying to paint this picture of what we're up against.
We have a an outside counsel that we use for the big endangered species stuff. We're actually working on right now about to here in a couple of weeks, a month, we'll be launching some in-house legal. So we'll have two guys on staff.
Two. Okay, so what's the average, like a Humane Society or the Center for Biological Diversity? What do they have?
Well, if you go to the Center for Biological Diversity site and look at their page, they've got like 100.
He's not exaggerating. You start tabbing through, and it's just page after page, and it's Harvard.
Harvard, like, Columbia, Stanford, it's like Georgetown.
Yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, they just turn and burn, and they're just filing suits left and right, you know. And all they have to do is throw out these little roadblocks for whether it's delisting or they can sue aggressively or offensively for public land access if there's a wolf or to stop trapping, you know, for – well, they just made put the Wolverine on the endangered species list. I guarantee here in the next year or so, we'll start seeing lawsuits to stop trapping in states where wolverines are found. And they'll claim bycatch and everything, which we dealt with that in Maine with lynx and bobcat. We won, but that's not going to be precedential across the other states.
Yeah.
So we'll have to fight those battles individually. It's not costing them anything. You know, and so they can throw up these blocks, and they've got, you know, these kids that come straight out of these colleges, and they just churn through them and file lawsuits.
Can you talk a little bit about Ballot 91 and what you guys are seeing right now in Colorado?
Right now everybody's kind of waiting and sitting. You know, it's gone through a couple of different hearings as far as what they can name it, the verbiage they can use. And so I know there's been some polling done. We haven't seen the raw data. We've gotten kind of the interpretation. We're on the calls with everybody, you know. It's kind of in a sit back and wait place right now, you know, to see what happens with approvals on.
And can you talk about, like, what did they actually focused on with that one?
That is the basically just get rid of mountain lion hunting and bobcat hunting. You know, they, and the funny thing is, like, my employee who works for me, Naomi, she lives in Colorado. She's a houndsman and a trapper. Well, trapper, you know, they got rid of actual trapping back in the, when she, the year she was born is actually in the next issue. She talks about this. All they can use is live traps now. And so that heritage has been largely lost, but they have zero limit, no bag limits on bobcats because there's so many they can't keep up with it.
Oh, wow.
And now they want to take that away and end bobcat trapping and mountain lion hunting.
That's where I start to get confused as what science are they going by other than the science of making money? Because if they're going by science of taking care of animal species and protecting them, they're not doing that.
It's feel good science. They're going by the science of emotions, right?
Yep.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, and it's just, it's purely emotional. I mean, Colorado Parks and Wildlife isn't behind it. They're not pushing it. They're actually trying to fight against it, too. But they don't need the facts. We live in a day and age where facts no longer matter.
Yep.
Emotions are all that matters, and you can tell people things. And let's just be honest right here. People in the city don't care. They don't they don't know. They're largely ignorant to wildlife management. They don't want to look at it. Nobody wants to see how the sausage is made. And they just want to keep living in their Disney world. And unless it impacts them, they don't care.
Sure.
You know, and so they get to pick and choose. The other side being Humane Society, they get to pick and choose when and where they hit and what that message is going to be. And we're always going to be left on the other side. And when it comes to ballot initiatives, facts help. But at the end of the day, you have to change that voter's mind for the 15 minutes that they're about to vote.
Right.
And why does it matter to them?
Sure.
They don't care about the North American model. They don't understand it. A lot of our own hunters don't understand it. You know, so the your Joe Blow, your neighbor, definitely doesn't understand Pittman Robertson, Dingell Johnson Act, and, you know, license fees and sales and, you know, how these studies are performed. You know, so it, that only goes so far when you're trying to influence somebody at the ballot box. You have to make them care for it.
Well, and I'm curious to know, you had mentioned, you know, a lot of the work you guys are doing is you're fighting things that the average person isn't even aware of. You're fighting it before it even gets off the ground and goes anywhere. So I'm wondering, like, what's a recent win, you know, or a recent example, something that you guys are really proud of that people have probably never heard of, and the reason they've never heard of it is because you guys did your job and did your job well.
Yeah. No, I mean, that happens every day through the entire session. Let's see, in 2023, we had 1,500 different bills across all 50 states that we were monitoring and watching and commenting on and, you know, telling people, okay, now we need to call in. You need to email. You need to call in. So, yeah, 1,500 bills a year, and we're just now starting up the next cycle, so it's starting to light up. We have a heat map on our website.
Okay.
That you can see it gets oranger and oranger as more and more bills are introduced. So, yeah, it's just... it's crazy when it comes to legislation stuff. They're just throwing everything at the wall. And it's, you know, both sides. It's the wildlife management side, but it's also the firearm side. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, okay, we're getting riled up about something over here, which rightfully so. But at the same time, like where I live, Washington State, like it's trying to out California when it comes to gun control. I mean,
yeah.
Last year they passed the you have to take a test, a written test, before you can buy a gun now. Well, this year... it's been already just been introduced. There's a bill to now add live fire training to that. Limit of once a month. A permit to purchase system. An 11% tax on ammo to go to gun safety education stuff. You know, and it's just they just keep pushing and pushing and throwing mud at the wall and seeing what sticks.
I was going to ask you about what you just said. I know last year you guys tracked almost 700 bills against hunting specifically, but what else have you seen? Is there anything firearm specific, you know, that how are these groups coming after people's firearms? You know, you kind of got into a little bit of that, but do you have any specific examples that people might kind of really start to understand what you guys are battling against?
And actually an interesting fight that we've seen that took place last year and it's continuing into this year is the whole credit card privacy.
Creating
a code for the and you see the blue states trying to push it, you see the red states trying to preempt it, you know. So that's a big one we've been working on, you know, the privacy and not being able to be identified and basically registered. Ammo, we have a lawsuit in California. We're one of two lawsuits in California that last year or 2 years ago when it passed, was the youth marketing. You know, they call it marketing, and it's so broadly written that anything that would appear attractive to a minor would be, it could be up to a $25,000 fine.
Oh my gosh.
Per basically impression.
Oh my gosh.
So if you're talking TV or a website or whatever, a magazine, you know, guns and ammo or something like that, if they wanted to push it, it could be. Now there's been an injunction in one, in the other case that's out there, there's been an injunction put in place. And ours, we went to the Ninth Circuit, had a three-judge panel, got a very favorable panel. They agreed with us. Now the Attorney General has asked for an en banc hearing, which is the entire Ninth Circuit will be hearing it, which, if you know anything about the Ninth Circuit, it's not exactly a favorable circuit. So yeah, we'll see how that pans out. That should be coming up here pretty soon.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, way more than I would have ever imagined. I mean,
most people have no idea what these guys are going through. You know, and I think Sportsman's Alliance is a group, you know, I'm a member, and I'm always really proud. You guys do a great job with your content. I wrote down some of the stuff and kind of prepping for talking to you. I just pull it from their content because they're sharing what they're actually fighting against. And, right, and sometimes I get in arguments with hunters who will argue with me that this isn't something to worry about. They're like, nobody's going to take away my hunting. I'm like, dude, you are so ignorant. I mean, yep. I don't mean that to be mean. You just don't know, right? Yeah. And there's a blissful ignorance about a lot of hunters. And I will often just grab your all's site. You got that news site. I'll go to your news section, and I'm like, here, scroll through two pages and tell me. Come back and see if you can honestly tell me that, you know, this isn't happening right now. You know, I mean, they do a great job of. You can go through and you'll see all the states. Every time there's an update, they're posting something to the website. And it's like the easiest no-brainer for me of where I want to spend my money and who I want to support, because I feel like you guys are really leading the way. I know you work with a lot of the other NGOs and everything, yeah, but like you said, you all are really core focused in, you know, there's not pillars of like, oh, and we do legislation. It's like, that's all we're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We just work in that political realm. We don't do conservation cleanups or habitat. We don't have a record book. It's like, we were really formed as basically a PR group back in the 70s when we ran a ballot initiative in Ohio when they tried to stop trapping. We formed that, and then it was wildlife managers, business guys, and regular Joe Blows that raised money to fight this ballot initiative, and then everybody went back to work. And then states started calling like, hey, we got issues. They're trying to do it here. What do you do? So we went in, set up shop, beat them. Then everybody went back to work. Then they're like, oh, somebody needs to do this. So right, we set it up and kind of did that. There's a lot of stuff. And, you know, to your point that a lot of hunters don't get it, you know, they see it in their state, or if they live in the Southeast especially, they're not that affected. Yeah. But, you know, you see it at your state, you're like, oh, what are these crazies trying to do? What most hunters don't realize is while it's happening in their state, it's happening in 2, 3, 4 other states.
Yep.
And they're trying to build that momentum and say, see, your neighboring state did this, and put pressure, political pressure and media pressure on the politicians to pass their initiatives.
Yeah, their states are watching, like, well, if this goes the way we want it to go, then we'll introduce it. And, you know, they don't realize how much sleeper stuff is going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and the nonprofits you are fighting against are kind of waiting to see how it goes in a state too. Then they'll run that same recipe in other states, right?
Yep. I mean, it's change it to fit what didn't work, you know. And what we're seeing right now, the big thing, and what a lot of hunters miss, is the predator management side of things. Mm-hmm. It's this rewilding idea. It's like, okay, we need to, nature balances itself, which doesn't happen, and it definitely doesn't happen now on the landscape that we've impacted.
Putting cities, interstates, farms, cutting off migration corridors.
Yeah. You know, but they are chipping away at predator management and reintroducing species. And you know, like where I live in Washington State, took away a spring bear season. Now they're talking about taking another tag away because we get two tags. Take away the second tag. We can't hound for them. We can't bait for them already. They're arguing about how many, you know, we need to know exactly how many bears are out there, which is impossible. They're doing it with mountain lions too now. They want to change the equation on how they do, you know, mortalities, when already there's a 50% mortality when a kitten is born. It only has a 50% chance of making it to a sub-adulthood. They want to count all those 50% that are going to die as if they were to make it. So that would cut tags in half. Reintroducing the grizzly bear, you know, and protecting all the cats, all the predators. So this goes falls under rewilding. Well, all those predators have to eat.
Right.
And that impacts your ungulate herds.
Yep.
Even your, you know, get into your waterfowl and
well, and they know this
birds.
Though, right? It's not like they're. It's not like that's a. Oh well, that's also nice. Like they'll often go for the predator hunting first because
that's
they know
exactly
it's going to ripple out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly what they're trying to do, and that resounds because they throw the word trophy in front of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're killing a mountain lion. They're killing a bear. They're killing a wolf. They're killing whatever. That's just a trophy. They just want that for the wall. Well, that in the public perception. You know, hunting has a 75% to 80%, you know, usual polling acceptance for wildlife management. As soon as they throw the word trophy in front of it, it drops down to sub 30%. You
wow.
know. So if you read any newspaper article and you will see the word trophy in any of these discussions that they will throw the other side, Humane Society, Center for Biological Diversity, Sierra Club, Wildlife for All, they will all throw the word trophy in there in any news story to you know,
that's
undermine
crazy.
Wildlife management. And then that has the ripple down effect through all the different prey species. So when a hunter says, I don't care, I don't bear hunt, I don't do this, you better start caring.
It becomes yeah. death by a thousand cuts.
Right. Exactly what yeah. we've
it's
been
not
saying.
Gonna be, it's not a blanket. It's just gone overnight. They're just going to chip and chip and chip.
Yep, yep. A little bit here, overregulation there. Take this away. Take this one season away. And they all say yeah. they're not against hunting. We're not against hunting. We're not against hunting. We're just against this type of hunting
mm-hmm.
and then we're against this type and so yeah it's literally a death by a thousand cuts. That's what we've been saying for years.
Crazy. Well, thankfully you guys have been doing this long enough that you know what to do, you know how to look out for things, and you know, with almost 50 years under your belt, you guys aren't going anywhere anytime soon, and we appreciate you guys fighting the good fight and doing what you do. And so we certainly encourage everybody, you know, learn more about it. Go on to the Sportsman's Alliance website. Look at the map. See what's lighting up, right? Figure yeah. out what's going on. Maybe it's not your state, but it's your neighboring state, you know, you had mentioned. And keep
yeah.
an eye on
Brian,
things.
How much is a membership?
$35 for the base membership. It goes up from there, and you get different benefits, you know, hoodies and
yeah.
whatever, knives and stuff from there. But $35 for your base membership.
And you guys, I think you have a renew, which I think I'm doing because it just keeps you making sure you're donating. It is the best money you can spend for what, like, protecting, truly protecting what you love. And again, if you're not into the hunting side as much, you guys are protecting anglers, trappers, firearms.
Yeah.
Like, it's a full bet into the lifestyle.
There yeah. were almost 200 bills last year against fishing alone mm-hmm. that you guys are. So, like, yeah, if you think, oh, it doesn't affect me, yeah, it probably does.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, exactly. Nobody's safe, really, in this. And it's come down to a culture war. And we got to start standing up and throwing some elbows and haymakers, or else it's going to be gone.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Well, Brian, we really appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule to come talk to us about something that is very important, far more important than most people realize. And so we appreciate you fighting the good fight, and
you betcha.
Keep doing what you're
thank
doing.
Thank you guys so. For the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Well, that's it for this episode of the No Low Ballers podcast. We appreciate all of you tuning in on all of the various platforms. We really appreciate you joining us for this ride each and every week. Make sure you're subscribed on your favorite platform. You can find us all of the videos on YouTube and all of your favorite podcasting platforms. Listen and make sure you're subscribed there. Leave us some likes and comments. We do read the comments. We do respond to them. We just really appreciate you guys tuning into the show each and every week, because without you, there is no us. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. That is it for this week, and we will see you right here next week on the next episode of the No Low Ballers podcast.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.